Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Pirate Money: Discovering the Founder's Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset is a nonfiction book by Kevin D. Freeman that combines monetary history, constitutional interpretation, and contemporary economic commentary. Its central premise is that early American money was tied to Spanish gold and silver coinage, and that the founders understood hard money as a safeguard against the abuses of paper currency and financial manipulation. Freeman uses that historical framing to argue for modern monetary alternatives that can protect individuals and states from inflation, centralization, and digital control. The book is positioned as both a historical argument and a practical call to action, aimed at readers who are concerned about economic sovereignty, privacy, and the future of money, rather than presenting a neutral survey of monetary theory. It takes a clearly advocacy-driven stance and links constitutional history to present-day debates over CBDCs, government power, and financial resilience. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a constitutional argument built around the idea of hidden monetary authority. The book's most distinctive claim is that the founders embedded a little-known constitutional basis for states to use hard money, specifically Spanish coin, as legal tender. Freeman presents this as an overlooked feature of American constitutional design, rather than a purely symbolic reference to colonial history. That framing matters because it turns the book into an argument about legal and political authority, not just economics. The reader is invited to see monetary sovereignty as part of the federal structure, with states retaining meaningful power over what counts as real money, even if one approaches the claim skeptically. The book's method is clear. It reinterprets constitutional history to challenge modern assumptions that monetary control belongs only to central institutions. This makes the book unusual in the finance genre, because it blends legal interpretation with monetary activism and treats constitutional memory as a tool for present-day reform. Secondly, hard money as a defense against inflation and currency abuse. A major theme throughout the book is the criticism of paper money and other forms of fiat currency. Freeman argues that currency detached from physical assets is vulnerable to political abuse, inflation, and disproportionate harm to ordinary people, especially the middle and lower classes. In that view, money is not just a technical medium of exchange, but a moral and social institution that can either preserve or erode economic justice. The book therefore treats sound money as a protection mechanism if currency cannot be created arbitrarily. Governments and powerful financial actors have less room to dilute purchasing power or transfer hidden costs onto citizens. This is a classical monetary argument, but Freeman expresses it in contemporary terms by connecting inflation to trust, class stability, and institutional credibility. The result is a book that tries to move the issue of money away from abstract economics and toward everyday household consequences, making the case that monetary design directly affects freedom and fairness. Thirdly, central bank digital currencies as a threat to privacy and financial autonomy. Freeman devotes significant attention to central bank digital currencies, presenting them as a major risk to personal privacy and political independence. In the book's logic, digital currency issued and monitored through central authority could make money more controllable than cash, and therefore more useful for surveillance, restriction, or conditional access. The concern is not simply technological change, but the possibility that programmable money may allow governments or aligned institutions to influence behavior through financial permissions. That is why the book treats CBDCs as more than a payment innovation. They become a structural threat to autonomy. Freeman connects this issue to wider debates about global governance and financial centralization, arguing that once money becomes fully digital and centrally managed, citizens may lose the practical ability to transact outside official systems. The book's strongest appeal is to readers who see financial privacy as a civil liberty, rather than a niche technical issue. Fourthly, linking monetary policy to global power, sanctions, and the Great Reset debate, the book also frames money as an instrument of geopolitical power. Freeman argues that the dominance of the US dollar has been weakened by overuse, sanctions policy, debt expansion, and the perception that the system can be politically managed rather than reliably anchored. Within that broader context, he discusses Chinese efforts to challenge dollar supremacy and places the Great Reset debate inside a larger story about elite coordination and centralized economic planning. The point is not only that currencies can fail, but that monetary systems can be used to extend influence across borders. Freeman's analysis therefore combines domestic and international concerns, suggesting that financial instability is tied to strategic competition and institutional trust. This makes the book more than a local policy essay. It becomes a warning about the political consequences of monetary dependence. Even readers who do not accept every claim will recognize the book's central insight that currency systems shape geopolitical leverage as much as they shape household budgets. Lastly, a practical, activist style aimed at readers seeking monetary self-defense, unlike books that remain at the level of theory. Pirate Money is written as a guide for readers who want concrete ways to think about and respond to monetary risk. The tone is accessible and persuasive, which helps Freeman translate complex issues such as legal tender, inflation, and digital currency into terms that ordinary readers can follow. The book is designed to motivate action at both the personal and state level, whether through renewed interest in hard assets, local policy experimentation, or broader resistance to centralized monetary control. Its practical appeal comes from pairing a historical narrative with a modern strategy, understand the old system, recognize the new threats, and prepare for alternatives that preserve liberty. That activist orientation is one of the book's defining features. It does not merely diagnose problems in the financial system. It tries to equip readers with a framework for economic self-defense and political engagement. In conclusion, Pirate Money will be most valuable to readers interested in constitutional history, monetary sovereignty, inflation risk, and the politics of digital currency. It is especially suited to conservative and liberty-oriented audiences, as well as anyone who wants a strongly argued critique of fiat systems and central bank control. The practical benefit of the book is that it gives readers a memorable frame for thinking about money as a question of rights, power, and resilience, rather than only as a technical economic instrument. Its intellectual value lies in the way it connects early American monetary practice to current debates over CBDCs, sanctions, and global financial planning. What sets it apart from many books in the same category is its combination of historical reinterpretation, policy advocacy, and a distinctly populist warning about modern financial centralization. Readers looking for a neutral textbook will not find that here. But readers seeking a forceful and timely perspective on how money affects freedom, trust, and state power will find a focused and distinctive argument. If you would like to support Kevin D. Freeman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.